The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. While you're turning there, a team of British scientists, they developed a sophisticated new camera system that tries to detect if someone is lying. According to an article from the BBC News, the computerized system uses a simple video camera, a high-resolution thermal imaging sensor, and a suite of algorithms. The new device depends on the fact that we give our emotions away through bodily cues, eye movements, dilated pupils, biting our lips, wrinkling our nose, breathing heavier, swallowing, and blinking. Now, the researchers will conclude, we bring together all this well-established work on expressions, these recent developments in thermal imaging, techniques for image tracking of subjects, and our new algorithms into one operational system. However, they also acknowledge that all of these scientific discoveries aren't 100% accurate. When the article was written, they could discriminate between truth and lies about two-thirds of cases. So, family, so much effort, so much money, so much technology, all the research, all the analysis, so much blood, sweat, and tears all poured into technology to be able to possibly detect if someone is lying. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Because lying is so commonplace today. It happens so much, it happens all the time, and if we can have some hope, it's a glimmer of hope that it's working, many people will say today, it is worth it. An article in Christianity Today that I read that I thought was very informative, it actually says that 91% of those surveyed admit that they lie routinely. 91% of all who were surveyed admit that they lie routinely. 36% will say that they actually lie about really important matters. 86% lie regularly to their parents. And this includes older people as well. Rachel. Rachel. 73% will actually lie to their siblings. 69% will lie to their spouses. So many people lying. So many people lying all over. So many people lying all the time. Is lying just the norm today? I mean, we know it. We see it, and the frustrating thing is that many of us just don't know that somebody is lying. And isn't that the beauty of it? I guess that's what makes lying so bad, isn't it? Do you know that we lie to ourselves? We lie to others, and unbelievably, how many times have we actually lied to God? See, breaking the ninth commandment is one of the current phenomenons pertaining to ethical considerations. I remember when I was, years ago when I was doing my undergrad studies in philosophy, we had to deal with situational ethics and all that stuff. And it's amazing how it's just not the concern for the church, but the concern for the world when it comes to lying, this phenomena of lying. And here's the thing that's interesting, though, for me, for all of us, what pertains to us is the phenomenon of lying pertains a lot to the ethical considerations of the whole world. It's a global phenomena, but I get lying that actually happens in the world, right? I mean, we get that. Unbelievers, you know, that's kind of what they probably do. But in the church, in the church, there was a story of a prominent dean from a prominent Christian university who was caught outright lying about his past accomplishments. And there was no gray area with this. He was busted. I mean, it was out there. He was busted. The university actually did an investigation and found that all of these accusations of the lying was actually true. And eventually, they let him go. But what was interesting was the official statement that was given about the university's findings, right? Because the conclusion that the university gave, for whatever reason, they said that he did not lie, but made true statements that were contradictory. It's interesting. I mean, I say that, I even for a while joked about it. So I'm like thinking, like, so lying happens. And this is the statement. I mean, I was thinking, like, I wonder what the university like life would have been like after that, right? Hey, you were caught, you know, cheating on your exam. No, I wasn't. Are you lying? No, I'm not lying. I'm just making true statements that were contradictory. So what's interesting, so lying happens so much, even within the walls of Christian institutions, the church. It happens so much that we have to come up with ways to lighten the gravity of this sin? Does it happen so much that we've just kind of resigned ourselves to it to just say, hey, you know what, lying just happens. Maybe what we need to do is we need to figure out a way to lessen the blow. We can't stop it, so is there a way we can make it not so bad? Even resorting to redefining it so that it's no longer lying. Is that how far we're actually able to go? Do you know that how much the secular media had fun with this report? They went on and on about this. For weeks they were making fun of this. But does it happen so much that we don't even know we're doing it anymore? I had an individual in a Bible study. We're discussing some of the difficulties of those men and women who actually lied in the scripture and, you know, the ethical difficulties, you know, situations like Rahab and all that stuff. We're not going to deal with that today. That's a whole nother couple of sermons to have to deal with some of those. But anyway, so we're having a Bible study and we're talking about the ethical difficulties of some of these passages of scripture. And she got really upset with me and the entire Bible study group and literally just started yelling at us with, you know, even tears in her eyes. Asserting that, you know what, it is never, ever, ever okay to lie. And a lie is a lie, and it is never okay, ever, ever, ever okay to lie. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. This is what I was taught, and I've always believed this. You know, to which all of us were, okay. A week later, we were discussing, she was having issues with her knee. It was a bad knee. And we were discussing how this knee problem that she had was a result of a serious leg injury that she got when she was in high school. She was also in the military. So I asked the question, how did you get into the military with that knee injury? Do you know what she said? She smiled at me and she said, I lied. Didn't she just yell at me for this? Could it be, family, that we lie even when we strongly believe that it's wrong? Has it become that commonplace to us? Is it that much of a knee-jerk reaction? Or do we just not know that we're doing it anymore? Is our conscience so seared now that lying is just normal talk for us today? I mean, come on. The lying continues in our culture. I mean, just the little things that I even catch myself doing. The just simple lies that we do every single day, just with the simple conversations. Wow! You have not changed a bit since I've seen you. You know what? I didn't get the message. You know what? The check is in the mail. And all the lying continues in our culture. And it's almost as if we just can't get through day-to-day life without lying. Story is told of a store manager who heard his clerk telling a customer, "No, ma'am, we have not had that in stock, or we have not had that for a while. And it doesn't look as if we will be getting anytime soon." Horrified, the manager came running over to the customer and said, "Of course we'll have some soon. We placed an order last week." Then the manager grabs the clerk aside and says, "Never, I repeat, never, never, never say we are out of anything. You say we've got it on order and it's coming." "Got it?" "Uh-huh." So what was it that she wanted? Rain. I just think of what the manager might have felt after that. And the lying continues in our culture. It was reported in the USA Today, Gerald Jellison said, "Each of us fibs at least 50 times a day." He explained that we lie about our age, we lie about our income, we lie about our accomplishments. We use lies to escape embarrassment. We refer to these things as little white lies. We're told it's to protect someone else's feelings, yet in doing so, we are actually protecting ourselves. According to Jellison, here are some of the most common used fibs. "I wasn't feeling well." "I didn't want to hurt your feelings." "I was just kidding." "I was only trying to help." And it is an issue. I see a lot of what the psychology of this, of what they're saying. Even as a pastor, I'm tempted to do that. I think I shared with you, you know, several years ago about one of my biggest temptations for people that, you know, tell me on Sunday, "Hey, Pastor Shane, I got a really hard week this week. You know, can you make sure that you pray for me and remember me in your prayers?" "Oh, yeah, absolutely, of course." Following Sunday, they show up, "Hey, Pastor Shane, did you remember to pray for me this week?" I'm stuck, right? You know, so normally what I'll do is I'll be like, "Lord God, thank you so much for this individual. I pray that they're..." "Yes, I did pray for you this week." It's difficult. It's hard to traverse through life with this temptation. And all the lying continues in our culture. All the lying that we do. All the things that we embellish, that we make elastic. You know, "Hey, Shane, I heard you went fishing this weekend." "Yeah, you got..." "Yeah, I caught a fish. It was about that big." Right, when it was... But here's the thing. It is no secret that the ninth commandment is regularly violated. And the worst part about this, family, we got to see when it comes to the scriptures, the worst part about this is the ninth commandment is actually so much more than just lying. Think of all the times we've broken the ninth commandment. Now, we're here to see in the scriptures that it's about so much more than just lying. Yeah, as we've seen, family, the commands are about more than its heading. And the ninth commandment is no different. And we need this, family. We need to have a clear picture of what our Heavenly Father is like. That's why I continue to remind us. The Ten Commandments is a very, very good a measuring stick, I guess you could say. A really good way for us to understand the true character of God. This is a reflection of His character. And family, more and more every single day, I hear more and more lies about what God is like and who He is. More and more we see this. And all these things that we see that's being said about God that is absolutely not true at all. And it is the commands of God that shed great light on who He is and what He has revealed to us about Himself. That's the reason why to take a light, an easy view of the Ten Commandments is absolutely painting and defacing the true character of God. Did you know that? Do we know that every time we start to lighten the load, we got this picture of the Ten Commandments, and we're like, oh, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like that, and we start to lighten it, to change it, to tweak it, to twist it, to do all these things in order for us to be able to better swallow it, that we are actually painting the face of God. It's what we do. And this is serious. And this is why an honest study of the commandments will truly help us in getting what I like to refer to as a sober picture of the living God. Right? Because we need to worship God the way He has revealed to us who He is, not the way we wish He was. We can't do that. And so I'm so concerned about this, and I'm so concerned about the many. As I'm preparing this sermon, and the more and more I'm hearing about, or I'm rethinking and thinking about all the things and the lies that I'm hearing about, oh, God does this, and God won't do this, and God doesn't care about this, and God cares about this, and He will let this go, it's not a problem for Him, blah, 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 and all this stuff. The more I'm hearing about all this stuff that's going back and forth, I'm so concerned about the many that while they're burning in hell, are going to ask the question, why? I didn't know God was like that. I didn't know that God was actually serious about this. But family, as bad as the commandment is that's violated, as bad and as serious, deserving of the severest kind of punishment, I'm not sure we really see why lying is really bad, but we then find out just how important the truth of Scripture is and why the good news called the truth of the gospel is the hope that we have and the hope that we will always have. Family, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. That's what we cling to. That's what we hold on to. So let's take a look. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Exodus 20, 16. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your many, many blessings. And God, I thank you for the blessing of the truth of Scripture. Father, we thank you that you have given us its light. And I pray that that light will shine and it will truly lead us out of darkness. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to look at today is the context of the command. So we're going to first look at how we can get a better understanding of the ninth commandment, looking at it with the ancient biblical context. Okay, so that'll be just real quick. But the second thing we're going to examine is more of the specific content, the content of the command, of what's included in the category of this ninth commandment. And the last thing we're going to see is how Christ fulfills the ninth commandment and how He is the embodiment of what it means to be the way, the truth, and the life. So the thesis statement of the sermon today is this: though sin and the pattern of this world may cause us to be the transgressors or be victims of the transgressors of the ninth commandment, It is the truth of Scripture and the power of the Spirit of truth that will cause us to be free, because we will know the wonderful truth from the Father, miraculously revealed to us by the Son and illuminated with the power of the Spirit. So, the first point that we want to talk about today is this, the content of the command. Lies don't just hurt, they kill. Lies don't just hurt, they kill. This is a serious, serious, serious command. Because in ancient times, like it is somewhat today, we should see again, lies don't just hurt, they kill. They didn't run around at the back in the ancient biblical times. They didn't run around talking about little white lies, those little white lies, oh, those white lies. Again, the importance of why we should not bear false witness. We understand that the importance of this passage in ancient times, why false witnesses don't just cause hurt to the individual, but they can actually kill. So clearly, when we see the Hebrew, ta'ana, when we see that word, we immediately, boom, immediately in our minds, we jump into the courtroom. See that word, boom, courtroom. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Courtroom, bang, there we are, courtroom. And because the definition of the word, or it's because of the definition of the word that we do this, because the definition of it simply means to give testimony in a legal context. So somebody that's giving testimony in a courtroom. So this command governs the legal testimony of a witness who gives their testimony in a public trial before a jury. That's the picture. That's the context of this command. So if we take a quick look at what we know about the justice system of the ancient world, we're going to see how things become just a little bit more clear. Because back in the day, there wasn't the legal prescriptions, I guess that we could say, that we have today. There was no such thing as our idea of innocent until proven guilty. Right? We hear that. Innocent until proven guilty. No, in the ancient times, there wasn't that. It was more guilty until proven innocent. And so it's understood that many times the accused weren't actually even able to mount any kind of defense. So there was no defense attorney. There was nobody there that was actually going to be able to help you mount a defense against your accuser. It's also understood that most ancient courts at the time were actually willing to convict a person on the strength of a single witness. So if one individual will actually say this is what happened, they are willing to convict you for just that. Furthermore, again, we got to see that it's clear that there could be and actually have been abuse with these kinds of systems. So in a day that did not have the elaborate methodology of forensic investigation like today's CSI, the witness is, and many times it was, all that they had. So you can see now the gravity of a false witness. Lies don't just hurt, they can kill, literally. So in accordance with many cultural anthropologists, trials became kind of a one person's word against another. In a way, it's kind of a he said, he said kind of thing. You know, duck season, wabbit season. No, duck season, wabbit season. You know, him against another person, a testimony against another person. And to top it all off, many times the crimes that were treated as capital crimes, which meant that the person's life was at stake. So all these crimes, all these trials that happened was a crime that they treated as a capital offense, and all they had was the testimony of a witness. So the words of a false witness, family, could be fatal. So hopefully we can see the gravity of a false witness. they testify, and you die. That's how it was. But our loving Heavenly Father, in all of His gracious providence, made sure things in Israel would be different. When a person in Israel was put on trial, they would actually appear before a jury of elders, and there would need to be more than one witness. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Deuteronomy 19, 15. You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. But never put a person to death on the testimony of only one witness. There must always be two or three witnesses. So again, because of the gravity of the situation, we can see why the Lord made this prescription. That's why there needs to be more than one to protect against this. So it makes it even more secure. It's not foolproof from the liar, but it makes it a lot more secure from that one liar. So God gave more protection from the liar. When someone was sentenced to die, did you know also He gave a prescription that the accuser would be the one to cast the first stone? That's a really important prescription that we had here. The accuser, the person who was accusing the individual, if that individual was convicted, that person was going to throw the first stone. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 7. Deuteronomy 17, 7. Witnesses must throw the first stones. Then all the people may join in. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you. Why is this important? Because it's one thing to make an accusation against someone, but it's another thing to be the one to put that person to death. See what I mean? I love the prescriptions that God gives. God knows human nature. He gets it. He sees it. So, you know, if you're going to lie about all that, I mean, just think. After I read that scripture, I always think of the emotional and psychological pressure that would be for that individual, be unbearable to kill that person that you just lied on. And how serious to make a false testimony. I mean, here's the other thing, too. How serious was this? It was found that if you lied giving testimony, the punishment would be severe. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18. The judges must investigate the case thoroughly. If the accuser has brought false charges against his fellow Israelite, you must impose on the accuser the sentence he intended for the other person. In this way, you will purge such evil from among you. So if you are going to lie on that individual, and if the punishment for that individual was death, they found out you lied, you know what your punishment would be? Death. That's how serious lying is. Look at how graphic this picture is. These were extremely important. These are extremely important to maintain the protection for the innocent and make sure that there is justice. And that evil is purged from the land. So it's absolutely imperative for us to see the connection between lying and justice. And oh, that's the buzzword today, isn't it? Justice. We hear that, justice. On the news, justice. We read about it. You know, social media, everything's justice. We're all concerned about justice. As Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. Zechariah 8, 16. But this is what you must do. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your court that are just and that lead to peace. See, in family, I know that many of us today, I'm not saying everyone in the church, but I'm just saying in general, in our culture today, many of us have lost confidence in the justice system. It would be, oh, I lost confidence in the justice system. I don't like the justice system of our country and all these things. We don't have confidence that there is justice in the land. We see it. It's the cry of our nation right now. We don't have confidence that there is justice in the land. We claim that there is no fairness. There is no integrity. There is no rectitude. There is no due process. We complain today about injustice, all the injustice in our land. Our leaders are unjust. Authorities are unfair. Teachers lack integrity. Politicians are lawless. Society hurts. Society destroys. Injustice, injustice. All I see is injustice. Right? Come on. That's what we see. That's what we hear. It's something that we're holding on to. Something that it seems like we in a culture's obsessed with. I mean, I've always said it, like, you know, I get people, the freedom of speech, all that stuff with our country, but man, it's like this has even spilled into when I watch a football game now. I'm watching a basketball game and I'm hearing about it. It's just all over, right? It's just there. It's just everything. But here's the thing. And what are we doing to try to fix the problem? So I've heard reports, these new programs that are happening, all these things. We look to all of these ideas. We look to man's ingenuity. We look to political philosophy principles, like the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory. We look to ethical considerations. We look to ethical standards, a reconstruction of ethical standards, to deconstruction of our systemic system, systemic reevaluation. We look to political parties. We look to special interest groups. We look to talk show hosts. We're now even looking to demonstrations and even looking to rioting. These are our answers. These are the things that we're going to fix the problem. But if we simply look at the scriptures, this is why this is so prevalent for us today. We've got to get this and see the connection. The Lord is making something very, very clear to us. He's saying to all my children, all of creation, here is the message. If you want justice in the land, it is simple. Everybody, stop lying. Come on, guys, that was free. Isn't that amazing? You go to the scripture and you look at this. Just imagine, think of a world right now where people told the truth. Where a person's yes was yes and a person's no was no. And we could take it to the bank. But isn't that funny? It's funny. It's like our initial knee-jerk reaction is always, that person's lying. It's a lie. It's got to be a lie. Some of the knee reactions of people when I'm preaching, you know, I'll talk to them afterwards and just be like, well, you know, what I need you to do is I need to prove to me that everything that you just said is true. I thought I did that, but okay. That's our reaction. Everybody's lying. Everybody's lying. Doesn't matter which category. Doesn't matter which sector. I mean, even right now, when you look at the financial sector with everything that's going on, with all of your retirement, all of your investments, we're seeing all kinds of stuff. Even lies that we're getting. We're not even sure who's telling the truth. We don't even know who's right. We don't even know who's wrong. I got some advice for you today. You know, if you get a loan from a bank, right, it takes, you know, for some of these big loans, it takes 30 years to pay it off. Did you know that if you rob a bank, you get out in 10 years? The lies. Imagine a world where we did not lie. When it comes to the ninth commandment, it's clear. Interpretations demand just and honest directives from ultimate leaders of our country. Judges are to judge incorruptible and not rash. For accusers to be honest and to not bear false witness with revenge. Lawyers are not to call good evil and evil good. The accused to be honest and to profess guilt and to not make false pleas. Did you know that the ninth commandment is demanding that husbands are not to bring falsehood to wives or to their children? Neither should children lie to their parents. Friends do not lie to friends. Employers do not have their employees lie. Employees do not lie to their employers. Politicians do not lie to the people, and the people do not lie to or about their leaders. Teachers are to teach what is true, and that includes teachers in the church, and we're to stop teaching falsehood and lying to God's people. If we're to have a functioning society, if we are to have a godly church community, we need to cast away all falsehood, and we've got to reject it, family. We've got to. Got to make that clear. We've got to. Recently, a noted physician, he appeared on a popular news network, and the talk show host was talking to them, and they were talking about this very issue about lying. And this doctor, this physician, actually said that lying is an important part of social life. And children who are unable to do it are children who may have developmental problems. The world wants us to lie. The world, obviously, wants us to be good at it. Because the world thinks that apparently lying does not destroy. But then when lying does destroy, did you know that we are then judged by the world? Oh yeah. We are judged by society. So again, the message. Here it is. Here's the message. All summed up. Sum it up right here. The message we're getting from the world when it comes to lying. You are not living if you are not lying. And it's only lying if you get caught. Family, we got to reject that. We can't accept that. We can't embrace that. We don't take our cues from the world. And family, let me also add that we don't take our cues from anything above Scripture. The Scriptures are the very breath of God that's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Family, you know what that means? That means if all you had was the Scripture, you would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. The Bible is enough. Let me say that again. The Bible is more than enough. It's more than enough. It's God's Word. God's Word is not the lie. God's Word is the truth. So point number two, the context of the command. So I want us to see this is really important. The ninth commandment is so much more than just lying. Because some of us may be sitting over here going, yeah, ninth commandment, man, I got that on lock. You know what, Shane? I don't lie. That actually might be a lie right there. But in any case, the ninth command is so much more than lying. And again, our beloved Heidelberg Catechism will help us here. The question is, what is required in the ninth commandment? The answer is, here's what's required. I must not give false testimony against anyone. To twist no one's words. Not to gossip. Not to slander. Not to condemn or join in condemning anyone rashly and unheard. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own work. Oh, beautiful. Under penalty of God's heavenly wrath, in court and everywhere else, I must love the truth, speak and confess it honestly, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. That's what's required in the ninth commandment. So you see, it's so much more than just lying. So much more. There's so much to this. Number one, we are not to give a false testimony ever. Like ever. Proverbs 19 verse 5. Proverbs 19 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, nor will a liar escape. There's judgment. False witness. We're not to twist another person's words at all. And this is a big one. Twisting other people's words. We're not allowed to do that. And it's amazing how easy and how much we actually do this. And we love, and many times we feel the need to put our own spin on things. Oh, yeah. This is one big one for me, man. I love to put my own spin on the Bronco Raider game last year. You know, especially when it comes to arguments that you have with your family. We love to put our own spin as to how things went. Did you know we're also not to gossip? We're also not to slander. That's an important piece that we see within Scripture. There are tons of Scriptures that talk about this. But let me also say real quick about gossip. Make sure that it is gossip before you start accusing a person that it is. Okay, it's really important that you do that. I remember one individual, they were accusing him of gossip, and all he was doing was telling everybody that here's a guy who actually had serious car issues, and he didn't have the money to buy a new car, and he, you know, just was too ashamed to ask people for help. So he's telling everybody about what happened to raise money so that we could help this dude, and they were accusing him, well, you're not supposed to be talking about other people. So just make sure it's gossip. Right? And just real quick, when you talk about other people, if it involves details that are not confirmed as being true, you're gossiping. There it is. If we're doing this, did you know that the Bible commands us not to? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16, 28. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Proverbs 10, 18. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. And slandering others makes you a fool. We're not to falsely condemn or join in falsely condemning other people. We don't condemn individuals falsely, and we don't join in with other people to falsely condemn another. We have got to do everything we can to avoid all lying, to avoid deceit, as the devil's own works. Family, especially in the church. Did I say that? Let me say that one more time. I want to make sure I'm saying this out loud. Especially in the church, we cannot tolerate falsehood. We can't, family. We got to understand the repercussions of this stuff. You know, I know sometimes people are like, man, Shane, you know, I don't know, man. You seem to be pretty hard a lot of times about stuff that's coming and, you know, what people are saying from the pulpit. Family, if it is a lie coming from the pulpit, we cannot tolerate it. We can't tolerate a lie. We just can't. There's way too much at stake with this. We are standing here with the Bible open, declaring when we preach. This is one of the reasons why I get, you know, pretty much every Sunday, there is that moment, that sink in my stomach, where I'm coming up here and I am preaching to you all with that nagging in there, making sure that I'm telling the truth. And that's why I'm very, very strict about Scripture, going through the Scriptures, because that's our truth, right? I mean, I'd be awake all night wondering if something that I said to you guys was an actual lie or not, especially if it came from something that was from my own idea. But family, we cannot tolerate lies that come from the pulpit. We cannot tolerate continued false teaching, no matter how good you think it might be or how well it resonated with you. We have got to reject it. Do you know that we have a very, very clear instance as to why we as the church need to flee, expel, and to condemn and not tolerate falsehood? We have got to reject it because lying and deception is what the devil does. Ooh, got real quiet in here. I heard somebody whisper over here. Oh, that's right. We've got to reject it because this is what the devil does. This is the kind of behavior. This kind of behavior is the way of the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, 44. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If you lie, you are doing what your father, the devil, does. He is the father of lies. And family, we as the church, we are declaring to the world. We are declaring to the world that we are children of God. How can we behave in such a way, saying that we're children of God, but yet act as if we're children of the devil? That's why it's important. It's important for us to see this, and we can't drop our guard on this. Can't drop our guard on this. There's eternal consequences at stake. We've got to uphold it. We've got to speak to it honestly, lovingly, and to defend and promote what is true for ourselves, true for the church, and what is true about our neighbor. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. In the context of love, it doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. We as Christians, abounding in love, we rejoice when truth wins out, when truth wins. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Sorry, I think I'm losing my voice. My voice all of a sudden sounds funny. Sorry, I'm almost done. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. We as Christians, we cannot be passive about this. Any form of deceit, any form of, oh, dang, he scared me. I was just like, what is that, the Holy Spirit or the devil or what? You know, you got to be careful these days. People getting shot in the church now, you know. We are Christians today, and we cannot be passive about this. We can't. Any form of deceit or untruth in general cannot be tolerated. We are people who uphold the character of our Heavenly Father. We do not uphold and passively look past a lie, because lying is of the devil, and it is characteristic of who he is, not our Heavenly Father. When we speak lies, we're behaving like the devil. When we bear false witness against our neighbor, we're behaving like the devil. When we gossip and slander, we are behaving like the devil. When we tolerate lying or treat it as ticky-tack, we are behaving like the devil. When we are not upholding truth, we are supporting those who speak it, promoting those who speak it, but passively support falsehood, we are behaving like the devil. When we do not promote our neighbor's honor and reputation on truth, we are behaving like the devil. That's why it's serious, family. That's why it's serious. And we can't tolerate it. And And family, we've got to never believe the lie that lying just hurts. Just like it has in the past, it's family, it's the same today. Lying does not just hurt, it kills. Lying about who God is, lying about what the content is of the gospel, lying about the purpose of salvation, lying about what Christ did on the cross, lying about the ultimate message of the Bible, this will kill, but it will not just be killing the body, but it will also be killing the body and the soul in hell. That's why it's important. That's why it's important. You know, we think, oh, well, you know what, Shane? I like this preacher. He doesn't actually believe that Jesus is God, but man, I like this preacher. And he's just got some amazing things to say, and my life has been revolutionized and all of this stuff. I mean, you know, I don't want to get all involved in, you know, discussing trivial truths of doctrine like the divinity of Christ. And I remember saying to the individual, I'm just like, hey, I get it, man, I understand. But you do know that if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you're going to hell. This individual, wonderful ministry, whatever you guys are, whatever they are saying, all these books, all these things, all this stuff, that individual is going to hell, and he's going to take a whole bunch of us with him. We can't just sit back. We can't let this go. We gotta say something, family. We gotta say it. This is not the behavior of the church. This is the behavior of the devil. Behavior of the devil. Last thing. The characteristic of God, the God that we serve, it is the one of truth. Christ is truth. He is truth. God is truth. God does not lie. It's not what he does. It's not in his character. It's not who he is. So there's no falsehood in that. And that's the other thing. What are we saying to ourselves, to our friends and our family, when we tolerate falsehood about God? Saying, oh, well, you can lie, you can say all of these types of things, and God is cool with it. What are we saying about God? Because I think in Scripture, it's pretty clear. I don't think God is cool with lying. I don't think he is. I don't think bearing false witness against your neighbor is okay. Our God does not lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. And we hold on to these promises, believing in God's promises. We live in a culture and society where lying is everywhere. We don't know what to believe. What we're seeing here in Scripture, Scripture is declaring, well, let me tell you something. You can believe this because these are promises that are coming from God, from the God who cannot lie. There's no lie in this. Even though we have broken the ninth commandment, this is the promise, many times and in many ways, and obviously truly deserving of death, lying truly of death, spiritually truly deserving of death, physically, because the word of God declares the wages of sin is death, we believe that any sin is deserving of death. God gave us a promise, and the promise he declared is, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Is that a lie? No. This is coming from God, our Father, the God who cannot lie. And because Christ died, did you know that there's salvation for us? Because the promise was given also that Jesus died for our sins. die because of the corruption of a corrupt system. He didn't die for financial gain. He didn't die for all these reasons that we're hearing today. Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And the Apostle Peter declares that he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. And this is the truth. And the promise of salvation gives us hope today that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is there for us. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Amen. Promise that you've been given. Promise that we have been given. A promise that you hear every single Sunday here at Central Baptist Church. Promise of the gospel that in Christ we will live. Family, this is the beauty of salvation, that in Christ there is life and life more abundant. There is forgiveness of sins. All the times that we have broken the ninth commandment. Yeah, God's not sitting back there saying, that's okay. Yeah, that lie's okay. I don't know about this lie, but that lie's okay. That one's okay. I'm okay with that one. I'm okay. I'm not going to punish you. No. God's not up there doing that. But God is up there going, you know what? When I look at you, I know there is hundreds of moments where you've broken the ninth commandment, the eighth commandment, the seventh commandment. I see all those things. And then you know what? He goes, but you know what else I see? I look at you and I see that you are covered with the blood of Christ. And because you are covered with the blood of Christ, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come. And you remember right there at the end when we're talking about how in order for us to truly fulfill the ninth commandment, we need to also remember that we are going to uphold the honor and the reputation of our neighbor. We're going to testify for them. That's what we need to do. The good of our neighbor. We need to do that for our neighbor, for our friends, for our family, all this stuff. We need to uphold what's true. We need to testify on their behalf, to support them, to defend them. Do you know that when we become Christians, Christ becomes our mediator? And Christ, who is alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the Father, do you know what he's doing for us? The promises continue. The truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the only one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. So what we're doing, upholding our name, you know, this is what he's doing. He's sitting next to God the Father, and he's interceding on our behalf. He's defending us. No, Father, I know what the devil said. I know what the world is saying about this individual. But look at them. My blood covers them, and they are whiter than snow. There he is, pleading with God for us, interceding, speaking to the Father on our behalf, telling him that his blood washes away our sins and make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are children of God. This is not a lie. It is the truth. The Lord, who cannot lie, just promised it to us. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.